Now let's turn our conversation on the state capitol report to a bill to lower Wisconsin's drinking age to 19. The bill is being circulated by the former president of the Tavern League and two other Republican lawmakers who were unable to join us. We have with us now a critic of the bill. Doug Scholes is the regional director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Doug, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kay. It's nice to be here. Thank you for welcoming me.
Well, why are you opposed to this bill to lower Wisconsin's drinking age to 19?
Well, MAD strongly supports the current minimum legal drinking age after 1984, which in essence makes the drinking age 21 by a federal law. Then states adopt that law in all 50 states, which they have. There's a long history behind this as to why we strongly support this so much, but The short version of the answer is if we were to lower the drinking age to 19, we would see a significant increase in deaths on our highway from drunk driving crashes, particularly in that 18 and 19-year-old age group, 20-year-old age group.
The main author of this bill, Representative Adam Jarko, said by dropping the age, the state could save, quote, countless hours and hundreds of thousands of dollars, unquote, enforcing drinking laws in Wisconsin, especially on college campuses. What do you make of this point?
Well, I don't understand that perspective at all, because, first of all, it sounds to me if we're going to focus on that, we're ignoring the fact that the data is immensely in. Over 49, 50 studies have been made that decreasing the drinking age from 21 will increase deaths. NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has estimated over 500 fatalities more in a year in that age group, just from this law being lowered to 18 or 19. And so we're ignoring the fact that we're going to lose life. And MAD's perspective, there's a lot of arguments pro and con, and we get that. But the one thing that sticks out in our minds, how can we accept that as an acceptable loss to lose that many lives on our highways when we know by lowering the law it's going to do that? And so, you know, the money part of it, that's his argument perhaps, but we stand very firm. We don't want to lose additional lives on our highways, which we can prevent this if we keep our law as it is.
Another lawmaker who is supportive of the measure said, it's not one of the three sponsors of the bill, but said that if you can sign up to join the military and put your life on the line, you ought to be able to have a beer. How do you see that play out?
I find that argument a little bit ridiculous, quite frankly. Just, you know, on a side note, I spent 20 years in the military, and I can assure you that I can't speak for the military, but they are very proactive to prevent drunk driving crashes. I don't know how much time he has spent in the military to get that perspective or conclusion, but, you know, there's various ages as to why we have age limits. And we just talked about the hunting law. You know, it was 10 in Wisconsin. Should we make the drinking age 10? I mean, there's reasons why we have certain laws at different age groups. 35 to be the U.S. president. 18 was actually, it came from the Drinking Act age before the Vietnam War. It was 21, and the age group, the voting age was lowered to 18 during the Vietnam War in the 70s. And what they found out, and about a short period of time of 10 years, the 1970s, is we saw a significant, dramatic increase and drunk driving crashes among the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds age group. And so we found out the states voluntarily raised their age back up to 21 to prevent this from happening. And that's how we got the act initiated to begin with. So there's no correlation between drinking a beer and going to war, in my opinion.
So the drinking age is 21, and that is the history of how we got there. States voluntarily raised it to 21 due to the crashes that were going on, or due to highway deaths?
That's in essence how it happened. In the 1970s, we had 29 states had lowered their drinking age because the voting age was lowered to 18. And many of those states, 16 of those 29, the same 29 states, voluntarily raised them back to 21 after a 10-year span. We found out just from research and data, which has been, you know, that was 47, 50 years ago, we're finding that the data and research is in where it's very, very, it's not good judgment to have teenagers on the road drinking alcohol, which is what's going to happen. And we're going to have a big loss of life. And we learn a lot of lessons the hard way over that. And if you've ever been a victim of drunk driving, we know that we can prevent this crime from happening. And keeping the age at 21 is the answer to this, to save lives.
Doug Skoll, have we seen challenges to the age before like this?
Yeah, we saw something back in 2008. It's called the Amethyst Initiative. A person from Middlebury College started this. There were some interesting arguments about it, and I don't want to speak for that group, and that's kind of died and gone away. But the argument was pretty much the same. But that was, I think, and I could be misquoting them, but my understanding was their main argument focused on a perspective that when youth go off to colleges, become students of colleges, they're exposed to peer pressure without parents, and they engage in binge drinking and a lot of bad behavior. So I believe the premise was something along the lines, let's teach the youth how to drink at home responsibly. And there's a lot of fallacies to that kind of logic, because what happens is the age of first use alcohol becomes lower, and we find bad behavior instigated at a much lower age. We believe there should be some dialogue. There has to be dialogue between parents and teenage sons and daughters about alcohol and how to drink responsibly, but letting them drink and teaching them how to drink is not the answer.
So you're saying that these types of discussions going on at home shouldn't be encouraged just because of a lower drinking age. These are conversations that should happen on their own regardless of what the drinking age is.
That's exactly right. Matt actually has a program called The Power of Parents, and every April 21st each year, we consider it to be a day for parents to talk to their kids about alcohol, because they're going to be going off. Many 17-year-olds are going off to college following the next year. Ongoing dialogue is the answer to prevent this from happening and bad things happening. Youth have very good questions. They're not stupid. They're smart. You know, did you drink when you were a teenager? I mean, and parents should be able to answer those kind of questions and tell them what the dangers are and have a meaningful discussion. Meaningful dialogue is the answer, but lowering the drinking age, we found that, for example, people compare European laws to the United States.
And we're going to pause there on comparisons to other countries. The proposal unveiled Wednesday calls for lowering the drinking age from the current minimum of 21 only if Wisconsin would not lose its federal highway funds. And we're discussing this with Doug Skoll, a critic of the bill that's under consideration. He's regional director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Should Wisconsin lower its drinking age to 18 or keep it at 21? What questions do you have about underage drinking? 800-642-1234. Back after this news update. The bill's sponsors say that at age 19, there are very few things that you cannot do, but drinking is one of them. They say lowering the drinking age would negate the need to spend countless hours and hundreds of thousands of dollars enforcing drinking laws, especially on college campuses. Doug Skoll is a critic of this bill, and he stays with us. He's regional director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. What do you make of the bill? Do you see this as the lawmakers do, that it would save the state time and money on trying to suppress drinking on campuses? 800-642-1234. Let's go to John now in Brown Deer. Hi, John.
Thank you for accepting me into your conversation, and I have a comment. When I was a young man in high school in the early 60s, the drinking age in Wisconsin was a 21-year-old age limit that was strictly enforced in Milwaukee County. But outside of Milwaukee County, the drinking age for consuming beer was only 18, and Milwaukee was surrounded by a number of so-called teen bars, like Marty Zivko's This Old House, Weiler's, and a number of others. and the 18-year-olds and who are young men and women between the ages of 18 and 21 would drive to these places and consume alcohol, and they were the locus of fighting and robberies and automobile accidents galore on the highways from the teens driving back and forth to these bars. And it was problematic whether to keep them open or not, and the legal discussion at that time surrounded the number of accidents, etc. And if you're considering lowering the drinking age, these lawmakers should review the number of automobile accidents and fighting at these teen bar locations. And it would be wise to keep the drinking age at age 21. And I would even say raise the drinking age to age 25.
Well, John, thank you so much for this look back at history. Doug Scholes, what about the 1960s and teens going outside the county to find a bar that they could get a drink?
Yeah, John's exactly right. It's a great point. It actually happened in states as well. We call them blood borders. Many states had a mixed bag back then in the 60s and early 70s, where some states were 18, some were 21, not just the counties, even within Wisconsin. And just like John was saying, people would drive across borders in those cases. And like you're saying, all the bad things would happen, and they would try to drive back intoxicated. And many, many crashes resulted with deaths and fatalities and injuries. So, yeah, this is a history lesson for sure. That's a great point he brings up. And lowering the drinking age is just a bad idea. We back then also, what's not being said here, I think, by the lawmakers, we had close to 30,000 fatalities a year on our highways in the United States from drunk driving. We have about 10,000 a year now, which is, make great progress, but not if you're one of those 10,000 victim families. So we want to cut this crime out completely, not just go backwards, at least, for sure.
John, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Lisa, who joins us from La Crosse. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. Hey, so I have worked in residence life on college campuses for about 15 years, and I would say that most of what we do dealing with alcohol on college campuses is the residuals of drinking, so dealing with the sexual assaults, the extreme noise, the vomit, cleanup, things like that. And so that is not going to change regardless of what the drinking age is. All that work that we're doing still will happen. And so I don't necessarily have an input on what the drinking age should be, but I think it's absolutely naive to believe that changing the drinking age would save any money on a college campus, because those people doing the work are still going to have jobs doing other things, still dealing with the residuals of alcohol.
Well, Doug, how would you respond to Lisa? She calls this the residual work.
Yeah, another great point Lisa brings up. And we were talking about, I was going to bring up the European model that has lower drinking ages. What they're finding in places like Britain and Ireland, they have double the binge drinking rates that we have in the United States, and alcoholism rates is on the rise dramatically. They're actually looking at the United States model to raise their drinking age back to 21. Like you said, bad things happen with alcohol. There are residual effects from sexual assault to just bad performance. Many, many bad residual effects happen from alcohol. Whether that can be changed either way, I don't know. But lowering the drinking age certainly does not help that situation and could very well just make it worse.
Lisa, thanks for calling in with your perspective. Let's go to Mark now in Oconomowoc. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi. Welcome to the conversation. Just wanted to make a point. I'm not necessarily in favor or against the idea of raising or lowering the drinking age. But if you're going to make the argument that says keeping the drinking age at a certain level, i.e. 21, or when we raised it from 18 to 21, which is the time I was in, then the argument could be said that raising the drinking age to 35 would save lives, or raising the drinking age to 50 would save more lives. So the argument starts to fall apart unless you get into the point of prohibition. I think what we need to do is to look for, like you said, to look for the answer, to find a solution to the problem. And the problem may not just be drinking. The problem we're trying to solve is drinking and driving. So why not have an alcohol control card for all people who wish to purchase or consume alcohol in public? And if you get into an issue, no matter what it is, that card can be pulled and you'll no longer be able to purchase alcohol in a tavern or at a store.
Well, Mark is looking for solutions, Doug. What would you say?
Well, Mark brings up, I think, a good perspective that the goal here is to eliminate drunk driving. He's exactly right. And man's not prohibitionist. We're not going to try to, increase the drinking age. Our whole goal here is to keep it as it is. We don't lower it for sure. But his point is a good point that we need to find solutions. Man actually has a campaign to eliminate drunk driving. And it's a three-prong approach, high visible enforcement and using technology we have at our disposal now. But we've been working with the autonomous cars and technology in the future, which we think may be the way to go with technology to avoid someone driving drunk. But in the meantime, I think we have the laws that we're with, and we don't want to lower it and go backwards with this.
Well, Mark, thanks for calling in. Doug, is 21 an arbitrary age?
Well, 21 has been known as the age of adulthood for really decades.
Mm-hmm.
Again, up until the Vietnam War, when the voting age was lowered to 18, we followed suit with the drinking age and some other things as well. But it's kind of been a rite of assumption that age 21 is the age of recognized adulthood. And I don't know how far back that goes, but it goes back quite a ways, to be honest with you. And whether it's arbitrary or not, I think there's a lot of history behind this, but that may precede me, actually. I don't know how far back that goes, but for a long time, it's been 21.
Let's go to Barry now in Rice Lake. Go ahead, Barry.
Yes, I respect the agenda of his organization. I'm a little upset how they skirt the question of the military. So the better question would be is if the government is old enough to draft you and tell you have to fight in a war because they see you as an adult, why can't you have a beer would be the better one, not the military environment and whether they let people drink or not. Just the fact that at 18 you're an adult, you're tried as an adult, you can be drafted and forced to go to war, to bring in the military aspect. So why can't you have a beer then?
Yeah, so Barry turns it a bit there. Doug, go ahead.
Well, again, I had a career in the military. I can't speak on behalf of the military, and I get your point, Barry. Where, if you can put your life on the line, I think that's what we're trying to say here. What's the harm in alcohol? And there are reasons why we have different age groups for different things. If I were the military, I know the message I heard when I was in there is they don't want to lose their assets in training investments from drunk driving crashes. There is an argument that says that the brain is not developed until age 21 or months beyond that for males. There's a physiological argument behind that. Again, man's position, and I can't debate the military issue that far into it because, my life's been on the line as well, and I understand that point. But our position is this, that we know from data that's been provided to us that we will lose lives, additional lives, from the 18 to 20-year-old market if we lower the drinking age to 18 or 19. And so our position is we don't want to make that an acceptable loss. We don't think that's something we say, well, that's okay. So we're going to stand firm on the 21 law.
Barry, thanks so much for calling in. Doug, how dangerous is alcohol to young people when it's compared to other substances and behaviors?
Well, alcohol is the leading cause of impaired driving by far. It's very dangerous. At a .08, and when that law has been changed to .08 from other states that had higher BAC levels, but NHTSA has done countless studies that your critical driving skills are impaired. That's braking, lane changing, steering, and reaction time. And if you put those four combinations together that are impaired on the road, it's a dangerous situation. And obviously, it happens. We have 10,000 plus people killed in our country each year. And over a quarter of a million are injured. Some are lifelong injuries. They're not just cuts or bruises. These are permanent disabilities. So it hurts and kills many, many people each year from this kind of behavior. And this is something that's 100% avoidable. We can prevent this completely. It's not like we hear that the acts of terrorism are just horrific in our country and around the world, and diseases like cancer. is not something like that. This is something we can prevent by making the right decisions. And we made a lot of progress in the last 40 or 50 years. And for us to take a step backwards, to me, this is not sound logic. We want to stop the lives from being lost.
And as we wrap up here in the last 30 seconds or so, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has a lot of say over what bills are brought for a vote, said he's opposed to lowering the drinking age. How concerned are you about this proposal getting any traction?
Well, I hope that the court of public opinion will prevail, because the public does support 21. And I think we recognize that this has saved lives in that 18 to 20-year-old group. Again, Matt's not going to rest until there's no more victims at all. We want to stop this from happening once and for all. And so we're going to make steps to the point one of the callers brought up, that we want to find solutions to this. And the solution is not lowering the age. The solution is keeping the age at 21 and then working with our technology in the future to eliminate drunk driving completely.
Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Doug Scholes is the Regional Director for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We reached out to the three authors of the bill to lower the drinking age, but none could join us. Earlier, we talked with WPR's state government reporter, Laurel White. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison, with technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and the State Capitol Report comes to you on the Ideas Network.